It's very likely that you will hear three separate mowers this morning, one behind each of us.
Yeah, it's spring.
Because it's springtime and everybody's mowing apparently all at the same time. So
hopefully, anyway,
I haven't mowed my yard yet.
The guy across the street, his mower is off, so hopefully he ran out of gas. So that's
good. Oh, yeah. We went out and mowed the farm.
I mowed my grass. Suddenly, the grass here was like 10 inches long, and I have a guy, Justin, mows my lawn, and he mowed it the other day. So every time I come in the house, like my feet look like two hay bales. So if I walk into the house late at night and I forget to look down, and I come in and there's two hay bales on the floor right at where my shoes are. So I have to remember.
Did really shoot up a lot, and we had mowed the farm the first time before we went on spring break, like a month ago or so. And then we were gone for a little bit and we didn't get back out there. And we went out the other day and it was like, I don't know, 18 inches tall, just like way up there. And so we had to take turns, Jenny and I both, going out and mowing, just trying to get it cut down in a couple of passes. But we have been mowing the backyard for, you know, more often because we see it more often. But we have this new dog, Boone, that we got a few months back, and he's not white, but he's like a yellow lab white, you know? And so every time we mow the grass, he runs around and he comes back in with green feet because his paws just like soak it up. So he's got like green socks on all the way.
But
anyway, he's a good dog. Yep. He's huge now. He's 65 pounds already. He's 6 months old.
He's that's bigger than.
That's like four wiener dogs.
He's going to be big, I think. Anyway, what are you guys up to?
It's like 40 Yorkies.
I got my mower out the other day. It's a zero turn. We have a large front yard. And I wasn't even going to mow the lawn. It needed it, but I wasn't ready to mow the lawn yet. I just needed to get something that was behind the mower. I'm like, I'll start it up and just kind of run it around a little bit since it's the first startup of the year. And I take it out and the belt falls off. So the blades aren't moving. And I was like, I go inside, I look up a YouTube video on how to get the belt back on. And I was like, nope, I don't have time for this. And I just
goes around seven pulleys.
I guess I'm never going to mow again.
Yeah.
Is that one of those belts that's like 9 feet long?
Yeah. Yeah. It goes around a whole bunch of different pulleys.
Oh, yeah. 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 I've had to deal with that.
We have a zero turn, and I have broken that belt at least twice in the years that we've had it. And it's such a pain to find the right one, for one, because like you go to look up your mower and it's, you know, 25 characters in the product name, and you have to make sure that you get the right year and whatever. And so then you get the thing, and then, there's nine pulleys, and you have to get it off the ground to be able to get underneath it, and, it's terrible.
What if, on the mower, right there, there's just a tag that said belt part number, air filter number, right? And fuel filter, oil filter.
Even better, a QR code. You can just take a picture and then order it directly from them. They make the money. Yeah.
We could revolutionize the lawn industry.
QR codes. Well, other than mowing, what have you guys been up to?
I have a kind of a free week. Well, I was just at Jackman's hockey game. That was fun. It was Total Boat versus Carolina. Total Boat won. And I was in the stands, and I was just goaltending with my phone. So I was hanging around the goals with my phone, and I got a lot of good slow-mo shots. I don't know if you guys saw any of my stories. I got all the good slow-mo shots. I only posted the ones that actually were either a good block or a good goal. Is it a goal in hockey? You call it a goal, right?
Sure. I think so.
When the puck goes in, that's a goal, right? Or that's just soccer?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I don't want to get my sports mixed up. And I got a lot of good slow-mo shots. So it was cool. It was fun for me to go. I don't really love the idea of sports in general. It's usually kind of boring. But to get the action shots, and all of a sudden I felt like I was a photojournalist on site. So that gave me some excitement, some creativity. So that was fun. And we had a good time. Then we went back to Jackman's shop. I got to see, Jackman has two shops, and I got to see the one shop he has in a little industrial park. Very cool. He's as organized as you would expect him to be. It's incredible. I see people's shops and I'm just like, where's all the junk? Where's all the random? I'm going to make something out of that. Paul, where's all the random? I'm going to use that spring for something one day. Is that just a disease that I have?
No, other people have it. I think you have it worse than
yesterday
everybody
I went
else.
To visit, Mike the fireman, his brother, John, bought a house nearby, and we went to go see his house. It's a beautiful, gorgeous house. and it has a perfect little mechanics garage with a chair and two chairs and a table sitting outside. And it's deep in the woods. It's a really beautiful, secluded property. And I said to Mike, I'm like, where's all the crap leaning on the building? All like the car springs and the and the extra tires. It's like, what's wrong with me? How come I clean up and then 10 minutes later, I'm like Pigpen from the Peanuts, but instead it's like industrial garbage just floating around me everywhere I go. I don't know. I'm inspired by Jackman's shop and John's shop to try and clear up.
Is that you though? I mean, it can be inspiring to see other people's, like the way that other people do things differently than we do, but is that you? Would you enjoy being in a situation like that where you didn't have like the visual, like churn of ideas and inspiration based on the stuff around you? Would you enjoy that?
I just don't think it's even possible. It's like, I'm never going to skydive. I'm never going to have a clean shop. It's just not possible.
I think it's possible, but like, I don't know that you would, I don't know. I
feel comfortable.
You could be creative anywhere, but
Rob's been doing a really good job helping me organize, and him and Kurt are doing a really good job. Kurt's been hanging around with us, Kurt Bloom, and their goal is to really organize and really, really like severely organize, which is not down to zero, like a Jackman shop or my friend John's shop, but it is severely more organized than I usually have it. So it's feeling more comfortable. Like I walk in the shop and there's a sense of, things are put back where they're supposed to be. And things are just, there's still little piles here and there, but I look at those piles and I'm like, I need that pile. Something about that pile of leather I need. I can't just toss it. But I find in my old age, I'm definitely letting go of like the need to have certain piles around. Like the other day I was in the big shop down the block and I had like 100 pounds of leather, just cut snip parts from old bags when I was making the bags down there. And I can't find it. And I never even asked Rob about it. He's going to hear it now and he's going to text me Saturday afternoon and say, it's under the table, you know? But I'm thinking maybe he threw it all away and that would be fine. That there would be a time where I'd obsessively need to know where that pile of leather scraps is. Not because I need it, just because there's some weird mental anchor attached to wondering why it's gone. Because the one tabletop was covered with it and I needed to know where it is now. But Rob and Kurt probably threw it away. And that's okay. For today, that's okay. My therapy session. So but, like, what else am I doing?
Hang on real quick. So at the beginning of the year, I remember we had, or maybe at the end of last year, we had a conversation about, I don't know that we meant to, but we ended up talking about like an idea for 2026, each of us, or a word or something like that. Mm. And I don't remember what your words were, but I remember mine was less.
Yes.
Because I wanted to
do remember you saying that.
I wanted to have less. I wanted to, you know, be required to do less and stuff like that. And so I was curious from you if you remember what your word was and if that has still been a part of your year so far. We're about halfway through.
I don't remember what my word was, but
fair enough.
If it was organization, that's happening. If it was organization, that's happening.
I'm pretty sure mine was intention, but less is something that I think about quite a bit for sure.
Yeah.
Cause I remember we didn't plan on having that word, but it was like the night before I wrote something in my notebook and I just wrote intention real big. And I was like, yeah, I need to do things with more intention. But it's funny, as I'm working towards the art stuff or the art show, I've got a couple pieces that say subtract. And to me, subtract means less. And,
it's like unsubscribe.
It's there's somewhat of a theme with all of that. And less is hard after, like, I've hijacked what you're working on, but you know, growing up, we didn't have that much. We weren't in a terrible position for the most part, but we didn't have that much. And now I've got a lot of stuff and I like my stuff, but I don't need all my stuff, but I don't know how to get rid of it. We have a pool table that, used to be my dad's. And if you've ever owned a pool table, Jimmy knows it's a place to put stuff. And it has been filled with things that I need to sell on Facebook Marketplace and eBay. And it's been filled with that stuff for about 6 months now. Because I hate selling stuff.
Yeah.
And I also hate getting rid of stuff.
I will say, though, like, because I've had the same piles. Actually, in this room behind me, there have always been, like, stacks of containers and stuff of, like, toys that I collected over the years or whatever, just stuff that I was like, I don't need it. I don't want it. I need to sell it. And about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I, instead of working for 2 days, I accidentally spent the entire 2 days putting stuff on eBay. And you can do it with your phone now so fast. I mean, you've always been able to do it with your phone, but the process is so quick. You can upload all your photos and everything from your phone as you're taking them. And so in 2 days, I probably put 50 or 60 listings on eBay. And maybe that wasn't like a lot of effort. That was just, hey, I'll take some pictures, put in the name. Oh, it found the thing that, you know, other of the same object. So it gives me a
description.
Yeah, it gets the description. It like figures out a kind of rough price. And I'm not trying to really make money on any of these things. I just want them gone. So I'm just like, yeah, that price looks good. Sure. But since then have sold about $2,000 worth of stuff that was sitting there for years.
Yeah.
So great. Even though you hate it, spend a day, just dedicate. I'm just going to go with my phone, put everything on this table on eBay, and then it can all go somewhere else in a box to wait to be shipped. And so now I have two big plastic containers in my lab room back there with all the 3D printers that is stuff staged to be shipped. And as soon as it sells, I go in there and I put it in a box, print out the label, and it's gone. And it's like every few days, I'm just something disappears from my house and it feels so good.
I think secretly, my brother, his business is basically like reselling stuff. And there's a lot of eBay involved in that. And secretly, I think I want him to come over and just like, hey, do you want me to sell all your stuff for you and split the profits? I think that's what I want him to do.
Man, ask him.
I know. It's yeah.
I mean, I was talking to my kids about that for a while because they're all wanting jobs and stuff. And I said, well, I'll get you guys to manage my eBay shop and you can sell all these things that I've had laying around that I don't really care about and your things. And then you take 10% of whatever you sell my stuff for. And they're like, cool. And then every 6 months they go, hey, do you want to do the eBay thing today? And I'm like, well, I can't today.
Not today. We need more time.
Anyway, so the other day I ended up just putting it all up myself. So they lost out on their 10%. But that was more, you know, to teach them how to do it more than me needing them to do it.
Right.
And they didn't have the oomph. Okay, I derailed us with the word thing completely. So, Jimmy, we'll jump back. What were you?
I put out the video last weekend of the vise. If anybody in the world owns a hardtail vise from Fireball Tools, I came up with this. It seems fairly obvious. And a couple guys who have the vises have done something similar, but I made a little hammer rack and a little catch-all tray on the back out of my plasma cuts. And that video is doing well. It was 1 of 10. I know we keep joking about 10 of 10 videos and some of the fans are jokingly writing that around here and there in the comment section. But that video was turned out to be 1 of 10. It passed my mailbox video, which was my most successful video in the last several months. And at the moment it surpassed it. It's not quite all the way up past it at where it is now, but that's good. That means I get to post another video. I get to come back another day. I get to come back for another episode, like the island of Survivor Island. So that's encouraging. Oh, and then, so this week I'm going out to Carolina Shoes. If anybody wants to come, we're going to be at Frank Shoes in Pittsburgh on Saturday. I don't know the exact time, but it's going to be like kind of a long day event. And if anybody wants to come out, you get a chance to win free shoes and hang out. And I'm going to be giving out posters and you could see my big scissors that I made. We're going to be doing branding irons. We're going to brand someone's bringing workbenches and we're going to brand the workbenches with hot iron. So I got to bring fire and steel. It's going to be fun. Great times. It's going to happen. It's going to be me and Derek and Graz and Paul and DTB might come. Justin maybe's supposed to come. So we'll see. Oh, and Papa Chad's going to be there as well. he's coming up from Alabama. And so this week I'm not doing a video because I'm just going to let that 1 of 10 soak for a little while. Next weekend, I'm going to put out a video. And then just to clarify, I'm starting a little EDC company with my friend Adam, who's my behind-the-scenes web guy. And we're putting out this tool, it's called the Summit. And it's just a pry bar tool. And it's made by Dauntless Manufacturing in the Dakotas. I don't know which one, the north or the south one. But it's a very, very successful manufacturing company in America that makes knives, folding knives, fixed knives. And we're going to start working with them. And this is our first project. And this is to get the ball rolling. And in the meantime, I'm developing some original products behind the scenes. So it was Adam's idea. He's like, let's find something out of Dauntless and we'll try and sell it with your branding. And I'm going to make some custom made packaging. So when you get this from me, ultimately we're still just collecting the names on the waiting list. So when you get this from me, there'll be some custom packaging, maybe some leather bits and pieces in there. So there's going to be a little bit of a touch from the workshop once everything is said and done. So just to clarify, everyone's asking me about it. So we have a lot of people signed up for some of the promotions that we're putting out there. So thank you all for signing up. And then once the product drops and the final price drops, everybody will know. That's it. That's the story on that. And that's really the
development. Any idea when that'll be?
Me and Adam keep jumping around. We've ordered several hundred. So we'll see once we know once the date is, once we know when they're going to be able to come to my possession, so that I could package them, then we'll be having more. It's like going to be in the next few weeks. It's not months away. It's like weeks away.
Cool.
And so that's going on behind the scenes. So a lot of people are curious about that. So we're starting it was Adam's idea because I said, let's do something together. And he said, what about an EDC company? And I was like, I've been wanting to do that for a long time. He said, so let's just do that alone. So it's not confused with posters and t-shirts and stuff. And the idea also is because Adam's going to run a lot of Google advertising. So this will get picked up on its own. It'll just be like, oh, here's a company that sells knives and ice picks and doodads and handkerchiefs and stuff. And so we're going to try and grow that business. And this is just a way to begin to grow that business. And that's what that's all about. We'll see where it goes.
Nice.
And I've been talking to some guys like JT behind the scenes. I do need to send them a sample of the DFM Toolworks and some guys and some other guys about hand making, or at least making in the United States, some machine pocket doodads that I've been coming up with. Kind of like in line with the ice pick. So there are concepts coming that are original to me. We'll see where it goes.
Cool.
And that's the story. Just another thing.
Yeah. David, what have you been up to?
You reminded me that I needed to get some ice picks. So I just purchased a few ice picks from you.
Oh, yeah. Let me know. I'll just send you a couple just to have around the shop. Sheath. We keep them at every tool.
I don't even know where my sheaths are. I don't use them at all. I just need the ice pick. The reason I don't want you to just send them to me is because a couple of them are gifts. I'm going to give one to my brother and my stepfather, and Jefferson wants one. So
thank you.
And then a new one for me.
Fresh one's always nice.
It is always nice. Yeah. Yeah. Don't stick it in epoxy yet. I just put out a video this morning. It's a UV resin printer. So think of it like an inkjet printer, but it uses resin, that's curable with a UV light. So it squirts, CMYK ink, and then a light immediately goes over top of it and cures it. So basically you can print on anything. And it's a pretty, the video's sponsored by them, but it's a really, really cool machine that I see myself using quite a bit because I love drawing on the computer. I went to school for graphic design. And so whenever I'm not doing something, I'm still doing something. I'm like noodling on the computer, playing with patterns and designs and stuff. So it's going to fit really well into my workflow. So that video just came out. And then we're working on an art piece. Almost every video that I make from now until June will have something to do with an art piece. So I have this big maple slab. It's probably I say big, like 6 feet long, but it's not, it's all gnarly. It's like right at the edge of the round edge of the tree. It's still flat, but it's really close to the bark. And I had, you can see where some branches came off. And so it's all weird shaped. And I've had it for a couple of years, not knowing what to do with it. And so I decided this week to turn it into an art piece. So I removed the center of it, kind of like what I did with the cookie. I think this might be a theme with a few pieces, but I removed the center of it that kind of follows all of the grain patterns, leaving certain knots in there. And then filling the middle with stuff that I've drawn on the computer that is going to be cut out and put on there. And so it's kind of like this nature versus computer type thing. And it's, I just see myself doing a whole series of it. Cause it's fun. It's very rewarding because I have all these ugly pieces I don't know what to do with. I think Brian Proust is on his way and he has some quote unquote ugly pieces for me. And I was trying to explain the concept of this to Jefferson, my camera guy, and, on the first day. And he was like, okay. And he didn't have the excitement that he normally has. And I was like, okay, maybe this one just doesn't speak to him. And then on the second day, when he got to see it start to come together, he's like, oh man, this is really cool. So the middle that has all these little, there's like 60 some of these little metal pieces that we got the forge out. We heated up the metal and we pounded divots into it and kind of misshaped all these little pieces. It's a lot of work for little detail, but it's one of those things like all the work pays off. And so when he got excited about it, I'm like, oh, maybe this is the right thing to make. Then I got excited about it. And then Kelly comes home and I'm like, Kelly, we're making this really cool thing. And yeah, so it's another one of those videos. Doesn't have a hook. I don't know how to sell this, but that's just going to have to be what it is for now up until July. And going to make videos that maybe people don't want to watch, but I'm going to make the stuff that I want to make.
I remember you digging now, into that theme years ago, just saying instead of trying to follow some sort of, you're just going to do what you really want to do as an artist. It's a decision that you've been wanting to make for a long time.
Yeah. And I think the very first video where I kind of said that was me making the urn for Weens. And I was like, okay, from now on, I am going to just make what I want to make and I'm not going to care. And you start to get into that and then you kind of realize, oh yeah, I also, this is how I make my living. I need people to watch the videos. And it's not like if one or two videos does bad, that's okay. But if you do a whole series of videos that doesn't do well, those numbers potentially impact future sponsorships. And whether they want to work with you or not work with you or offer you less. And this sponsors is how I make money. And so there would be some shop type videos creeping in there, setting up shop at the other place, which has been since unset up because it is just a disaster over there. But, and then a couple like shop tour videos and tool videos. But for the most part, I've stayed with, I'm going to make what I want to make, but I have gotten some shop and tool type videos in there. So I had to backtrack a little bit, but that's okay. I'm still making videos for me, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think there's actually like, there's another layer to that thing because we all feel that. I think everybody feels that. You want to make the thing that you want to make and you don't have to pander to algorithm or people or whatever. But the other part of it is just that, and we've talked about this many times, is the thing that you want to make and then there's this window thing between what you want to make and the people who you want to see it. And you have to figure out how to dress that window in a way that gets them to the thing that you wanted to make. Because there's a lot of people that I think would like the thing that you want to make, but there's so much noise. There's so much in front of every single person right now. They have to choose what to watch. Mm-hmm. And so the window dressing becomes this like, a whole nother skill set on its own that you're competing with everybody else's window dressing skill sets to try to get the attention and get somebody to walk in the door and actually check out the thing. And so you know, we can say that I just want to make the things that I want to make. But then you also have to figure out how to dress it up and make it look pretty enough just to get somebody's attention, which is a mm-hmm. different additional set of work that some of us, I think, are just not interested in. I don't want to say good at, but like not motivated to put that effort in that spot for that particular thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I know with, like we've talked about many times that you love making the videos. For me, I love making the thing. And if I could figure out a way to make the thing without having to make a video about it, I'm there, dude. I'm mm-hmm. like, that's fine, you know, because the thing itself, the work and having the whatever in front of me as the final result, that feels really good. And I'm like, oh yeah, I have to make a video to show people how that I did the thing. And then, oh, I have to make a thumbnail and figure out a title to show people that I made a video. Oh yeah, I have, you know, but that's just the way it is.
It is funny that like the hook, does the thing have a hook in the cassette video? At the end, I was like, I don't have a hook for this. It's not a mechanical thing. You don't plug it into the wall. It doesn't do anything special. It's just there to be looked at. And I was like, I don't have a hook. And that's okay. But I have, for the last 2 years, I'm like, okay, let's not worry about the hook too much. But sometimes when you try to come up with the hook, that's going the window dressing, it actually adds to the project because there's another challenge that makes it more fun for you. Maybe now you're thinking, you're approaching the project in a different way and you're doing something that you wouldn't have otherwise, and it makes the project even cooler. But I can totally spot when I see another video and they made a hook just for to get you to watch the thing, and I see the formula, and when I see the formula, I am so turned off by it. And
yeah,
and it's only because I know the formula, I know the inner workings, and nobody really cares about that. I mean, it's all entertainment and it's all learning. So you're just competing against everybody else, and the viewers just want to be entertained.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of hook, my next video, the thing I'm working on right now, literally has a hook, but it's also the hook. So I, a while back, I made a cedar screen wall next to the pool house to hide all the pool equipment. And it's just like cedar slats. And it's this, you know, just to cover up the thing, make it look nice where all the equipment is. Now, up against the house, opposite of the pool, up against the house, there's all of the electrical for the house is right there on the back. So it's a big electrical box with a bunch of pipes that go down into the ground or into the wall. It's just ugly utility stuff and everybody has it. So we've been talking for a while about, as we're trying to make the whole backyard look better, like that's an ugly utility thing we need to cover up. So we have been talking about mirroring the slats on the house and just make a box or a screen or a wall or something to hide the utility thing. So I was looking around at old videos of mine and looking at titles back when we could say how to make a whatever was the title of the thing, and people were like, oh, I want to see how to make a whatever, and I'm going to watch the video because that's what it's about, obviously. So I was looking back at all these old videos of mine that were all of the titles were how to make a blank, and they all had like tons of views and everything, and I'm not necessarily going to use that title, but it got me thinking about like, this is a potentially covering up a utility thing is potentially something that everybody could use. If they want to make their space outside their house just look a little bit nicer, it's like an afternoon project with a circular saw. Cool. Like I should do an old school, simple DIY project thing. And then of course, it's got to have a hook, right? So we were talking and Jenny came up with this idea of making little towel hooks, because we have kids, which means we have 1,000 towels all the time everywhere. We had a bunch of teenagers, a bunch of friends over the other night, and there were probably 20 kids in the pool, and they all needed towels when they got out because nobody was expecting to swim, and so there were a lot of towels. Anyway, so she came up with this idea of making a little towel hangers that were hidden in between the slats, but you could kind of like flick them and they would pop out. And so yesterday I spent a long time modeling. Anybody looking can see this. the slat is going to be on this face, right? So my fingers are the slats, and there's a little nub that sticks out that you can barely see. And then when you need a towel hanger, you just flick the nub.
I love this.
And it comes out.
That is nice.
And
the cool
thing is, I just got to geek out about this. On the back, the stop for both positions is built into the thing.
That is so well designed. Wow.
So like this is printed in two parts. That's a single thing. That's a single thing printed flat with a dowel in it.
Yeah.
You just like snap them together, screw it to the back of the thing. And now you have a little, you know, you only see that much of the nub sticking out. And you can do these in fun colors. They're in ASA, so they're good outside in the sun and everything. And so like this hook became the hook. And even when I was doing the, I haven't shot the intro for it, but as I was doing the setup, usually I've gotten away from like the, here's the thing we're going to make and then cut away and then start back at the beginning of the process. I just start with like, okay, here's the idea. We're going to get to it. And I know that that's not as engaging for people. So I planned out a really simple intro that's like, we're going to make this, the ugly thing, look like this, the finished thing that can do this and then flick out the little hook thing. So the hook is literally going to be the hook at the beginning of the video.
That's nice.
I don't know. We'll see how it turns out.
But I just want to talk about how well designed that hook is and the mechanism. That is really cool.
Well, thanks. I came up with a few different versions of it, and they all effectively do the same thing, but sometimes the little stop was on the back part. Sometimes it was on the hook itself to stop against the wood. And it ultimately came down to I want to print this flat with no weird parts stuck out. This can print flat with no supports.
Yeah.
Like honestly, which
that's
is
always
pretty
the
wild.
Challenge.
And so I changed the design multiple times off camera just for printability. And I think it's better because of that. So
is there any kind of like friction or resistance or I don't know, interference? What?
Well, on the first versions, they were really tight. They were intentionally tight. So here's an orange PLA one. And this didn't even have the dowel in it, and it's tight enough that it would hold a position. But I don't really want that. I actually want it to be loose, so I made this one. See, there's a gap in there? So I made it loose enough so that when you just barely touch this, it's just gravity's going to pull it down. And then
it wants to stay up, and down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
And so I may have to end up leaning that back a little bit. I don't know. I haven't tested these yet, so that's today's thing.
How many will you need to make?
I mean, 4 or 5, not that many. Because the thing's only 36 inches, and so we'll probably do maybe 4 towels across. But the cool thing is, I made the screen to match the original screen by the pool house. And so if we decide to need more towels, I can print more of these things and put them over on that wall, and we can have towels everywhere, which sounds terrible. But, you know, we can do that. So that's what I'm working on this week. But it's actually really cool because in preparing for going on spring break a few weeks ago, I got a bunch of stuff done. And then I know that I'm going to be gone a lot this summer for different trips. I don't know if I told you guys that or not, but I'm going on 3 separate trips over the summer. And so I'm trying to take this month and get ahead. And I've already got this is the 3rd video that I'm working on that is unedited right now. And so I've got this month and half of June already shot, and I've still got the rest of this month to shoot for June and July. So I'm really excited about the fact that I might get to the end of this month and have the summer's videos done, shot, not edited.
I can't imagine. But, you know, shot, it's like Jimmy in a clean shop. I can't even imagine.
Never going to happen.
Yeah, I think next up I'm going to do, I'm just going to go work on the Ghia and spend a few days, kind of give myself 3 days to finish the metalwork.
Are you traveling? Maybe it's a secret. Are you traveling for the hosting gig?
Oh, no. It's just personal stuff. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I actually haven't heard anything about that in a while. I need to check in
published?
With them. No, they're not. Which is kind of strange. I know that they got delayed a little bit because the company who sponsored was changing their logo and they wanted to have like the updated logo in the show. But they were supposed to come out in March, and I saw a cut of one and it was really good, but I haven't seen like the final edit and haven't heard anything. My dogs are barking upstairs about something. But anyway, that's what I've been up to is actually getting ahead, which feels really cool. And planning ahead enough that, like, looking at my calendar here, it's not all hard set, but I have content laid out in the calendar through the end of September, like stuff that is legit. It's got plans behind it. It's got, you know, process and a thought and sponsored, not all sponsored, but it has stuff laid out for quite a while. And so I really just want to keep the momentum so that I can enjoy my summer and not feel like I'm going to have to like keep, you know, I know at the end of summer, I'll be starting kind of back from, you know, not having a big margin ahead of me, but right now it feels really good to have some stuff done for the future. But you brought up something earlier, Jimmy. You were talking about your day the other day. I think this was before we started recording.
Yeah.
About how you got to the end of the day. You want to repeat what you said earlier?
Yeah, I was talking about how when we scroll, it's part of the culture now, when we scroll, and in my case, sometimes I spend time with the dogs, which I don't happen to have at the moment, but from time to time when the dogs are here, Taylor takes them in between and I take them sometimes. And when the dogs are here, I'll just sit with them on the kitchen floor for like an hour, doing nothing, scrolling and playing with them and throwing a little tinfoil ball or whatever. And I do it with the cats a lot and the chickens and the turkeys. I'll just, if it's a nice day, I'll just sit in one of the chairs by the fire pit and literally do nothing for like 30 to 40 minutes. And that happens a couple times in a day, maybe, especially when it's nice out. And while I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, oh God, I'm wasting the day. I haven't done anything. And then I think back, I'm like, wait a minute. I got up at 8. Yesterday, I installed a sign downtown. Me and Mike installed a sign. I made 4 leather bags. Last night, I felt like I didn't do enough by the end of the day. So I went out to the pottery shop and I spun. I'm trying to make coffee cups. I'm trying to get into the concept of what it takes to make coffee cups. You see some of these production coffee cup guys online. And I'm like, okay, what does that take? What is the skill set? So last night I weighed out 6 lumps of clay and I spun 6 things in a row. And then I washed. But sometimes I look back at the day and I'm like, I got nothing done. But I have to actually physically remind myself, because the overarching emotion is like, you're not doing enough. Mm-hmm. You're not doing enough. And that comes to the end of when I'm sitting with the animals or just taking time to maybe have a bite to eat and catch up on the news. And then I'm like, what am I doing? I'm wasting the day. And then I'm like, I got to remind myself, I did like 4 days worth of work by 4 o'clock. And I have to remind myself. So there's that perpetual feeling of like, you're not doing enough. Do you guys feel that? even when you've done 3 days worth of work.
All the time. Bob, <thank you. laughs> I can see Bob's brain gears turning, so I'm going to let him speak.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Are you on mute, Bob?
I do. Bob, you're on mute. Oh, sorry, I was muted.
I thought you were taking really time thinking. Together your thoughts.
He's really
no, I mean, yeah, I think that's a problem. So I wrote down, after you said that earlier, I wrote down, when is enough and enough? And we can obviously say that pretty often about like tools. When is enough enough? Like, when do you have enough stuff? When do you have enough money that you don't need to pursue that? And I think that's something that makes sense to a lot of people. But you know, what you're talking about is like productivity. When is producing enough or doing enough stuff throughout a day gonna feel like it's been worthwhile and now you're allowed to rest? One of the things I saw recently, and I don't know where I saw this, but it was saying that people who feel guilty about resting probably grew up in a place where they felt like they had to perform. And my parents were fantastic. I don't ever feel like I had to perform. I had to do chores. I had to be good at this or do that to feel accepted. So I don't really buy into that, but it got me thinking about that. I wonder why it is that I feel a little guilty when I don't do anything, when I take the time to sit down and rest and to just be. There's a part of me, which you're kind of describing, I think, that says, like, you should really be doing something. You should be taking advantage of this time. You should be taking advantage of what you have in front of you, you know. And I don't know exactly where that comes from, other than
it's a YouTube hustle,
it's just
really
what we see, you know. It's like, it's what we're surrounded by, is that you have to make the most of everything and you have to always be producing stuff. I have an idea about it, but it's, I don't know that it's fully fleshed out, but I think it, and I talked about this a few weeks ago, I think it has to do with scarcity, like the falsehood of scarcity. Feeling like if I don't constantly do, eventually there's not going to be enough. I don't think that's actually true, but I think that's, there's some part of that, that like you feel, I feel like I have to be doing something to make sure that everything continues to come in and that I am somehow producing what I'm going to need next to provide for my family or for myself or whatever. And so when you don't do something and you take a time to rest, even though there's all sorts of good reasons that you should do that, that's in opposition to the, I have to keep working to fight the scarcity thing. So I think that's where it is for me. That's where it comes from. But I've also been forcing myself to rest. I've been forcing myself to, my mornings are slow and I start later than I feel like I should. Mm-hmm. And I drink a couple of cups of coffee on the couch before I get up and do anything else. And I take time to read and I walk around in the backyard and smell what the backyard smells like. And, you know, and I just do those things because even if it's not natural for me to do that, and I feel that feeling that you're feeling about it, like if I try to immediately make the most of the day and jump in right away, then by the end of the day, I feel hollow and I feel like I am not rested and I still probably got the same amount of stuff done. I don't know. That's kind of where my head is.
I tend to work in spurts. So I'll get right into something and spend a solid 2 hours and get like 4 hours worth of work done in 2 hours. You know, the civilian would make that civilian 2 hours into 4 or 5 hours. So that's why from time to time I have to remind myself, let's just take an assessment of the day. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't feel bad about sitting here with the cat for a half hour. Well, and I take those times, those moments, those breaks, I take those to contemplate projects or how to solve problems. I'm working on the go-kart now. I forgot to mention that in the beginning. I started putting together my electric go-kart and I'm just collecting video. It's going to take some time before the video will be out in July. But there have been several instances where I come across, what am I going to do here? How am I going to solve this problem? And you get the gut reaction of like, do this, weld that, bolt that. And then I say, you know what? Let me let it simmer. 2 hours later, I get a much better solution that just magically appears in my brain, in my mind's eye, without me having to do too much hard work. But it's those moments where you contemplate, step away. There's no severe rush. If I was in a rush, I might jump onto some of those gut solutions. But I take the time because I have the time. And I come up with more elegant concepts, more elegant solutions to some of these. When we do anything, you got to remember, I always say it's like the human G code. When you do anything, there are millions of lines of code. Just making a cup of coffee. There's millions of lines of code. So to make sure you don't, when you're making something and you're doing a project, it's important to sit and think and make sure you don't waste lines of code doing things twice, and you know, you're going to have to go back to the mental computer and reprogram, basically do it over in a different way. So those moments in time where I take breaks, I'm feeling less and less guilty about them, especially when they produce the outcome of an elegant solution to something that I didn't see right away, 3 hours later after petting the cats, whatever it might be. Or, you know, nowadays it's like I'll walk to the shop, and you know, we do joke about that old thing on Malcolm in the Middle where the father sees like a nail and then all of a sudden he's into 7 projects later. And you know, that'll be me. I'll be walking by the shop, and now that everything's blooming, you know, the weed whacking never ends. So when I walk past the building and all the weeds are growing up alongside the barn, I'm like, I got to get that. So I was charging towards one thing, and now I'm looking for the weed whacker and the batteries, and I'm going to weed whack. And all of a sudden now I'm changing the tip of the weed whacker. But the whole time I'm still trying to solve the problem I was walking towards before I noticed all the weeds growing out of the cement driveway.
Yeah. The next thing you know, you're at Home Depot getting trimmer line because you need that. Oh, while you're out, you might as well do this. Yeah.
You don't know which one to buy, so you buy three of them.
Yeah. Right. And then you never made it to the destination that you were originally walking towards.
Yep.
Well, David, do you have any thoughts on this whole thing? Like, how do you feel this?
I think mine comes from a different position, and I don't have this completely thought out, but my gut reaction is I am always trying to impress myself with what I'm capable of doing. So yours comes from scarcity. I think I am just trying to impress or prove to myself, make sure to, like, you know, the internal question is like, am I worthy of this? Am I worthy of what I have? And of course the answer is yes. I can't stop my brain from asking these questions, but, and I am most impressed when I'm super productive and I made this thing. There's this thing that I learned about, recently that I didn't, this has always been the case, but I didn't know that this was the case, is I tend to work up until, I don't start things until the deadline is, you know, tomorrow or very soon. And so as soon as there's an emergency to work on a project or anything, that's when I start, when I could have started a long time ago. And of course, that's always stressful. And you're dealing with like, oh my gosh, I only have until Friday to get this thing done. I've got so much to do. This is so stressful. The world sucks. And then when you finish it, there's this reward of like, I did that. I got through those 3 days of working nonstop. And so my brain rewards myself for putting things off. And then I just go through this endless loop of putting things off. And, I've always done that, but now I know that I do that, and I'm trying to recognize and, you know, I don't know how to remove that reward, but I suppose that's a conversation with my therapist, but yeah. I got to get out of that cycle. But I'm always just trying to impress myself and prove to myself, like, I am good at what I do. Kelly complimented something that I just made the other day. And usually when I get a compliment, the first thing is like, yeah, but, you know, it wasn't the original vision, or, oh, you didn't see the router mark that I accidentally put on. You know, you're always looking for the imperfections or how it didn't fulfill every thought that you had. And Kelly complimented something yesterday, and I was just like, yeah, I like it. I didn't have anything negative to say about it. And I was like, I need to respond like this more, so I don't always have to defend myself. But I also just need to enjoy what I've done, whether it's perfect or not perfect.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah. There's something about contentment. Like, even if things don't always go the way that you want, there is definitely something to be said for being content with an outcome in the service of like moving along, you know. Jenny and I are really different in that, and I'm not trying to throw her under the bus, but she focuses on her, like if she does something and I say like, wow, that dinner was really good. She makes dinner for us. She's really good at it. So I say it's really good. She's like, yeah, it's kind of salty, or yeah, it's kind of, you know, she has that thing where she looks for a flaw or sees the flaw, I guess, maybe doesn't look for it. And, it's always hard for me to understand that. I can do it to myself. I can point out my own flaws. But when I see her point out her flaws, I'm like, but yeah, why are you, like, it was good. Right. Why are you focusing on the negative? But being content with, I think it's easy for me to be content with what she does, because I know that it's like in the name of service. Like she doesn't have to cook for me or us, but she does for the service of the family. And it's like, I'm really content with whatever she makes because it was made for me. It was a gift, right? So that's different than when you do something for somebody else and then it's harder to be content with what you did. You look, see all the flaws and all that stuff. But
I mean, when you're doing something that's shared with somebody else, your expectations are different than the person viewing the things. Their expectations are different, you know? And so you're just constantly dealing with looking for the flaws and pointing things out.
Kind of related. So do you remember a couple of days ago, I sent the two of you an Instagram video of a guy talking about, I don't remember what the guy's name is. It's like Daniel something. And he was talking about how not all your hobbies have to be monetized.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? So I'll try to find it. I'll put it in the show notes because I cannot remember what the guy's name is, but he just like does daily monologues and I don't know much about him or anything, but I saw another one yesterday, that was talking about how there's two versions of each of us. There's the version that we know that we hold in our head because we have all the context for all the things that we've ever been through and our intentions and all of this stuff. And so we see ourselves one way based on our own knowledge of our experience and everything. And then there's this, the I can't remember what he called it. There was the intention and then there's the other side of it. What other people see because they see our reactions to things. And so they only see the reaction to something at the moment that it happens. And that means if you're tired, if you're short tempered, they see the short reaction, the overreaction, the whatever. And the point of the video was just saying, those are two distinct things and they're both real, but maturing is starting to understand the space in between them and trying to get those two things closer to each other so that the context that you live in is actually shared to the people that you're experiencing life with so that they experience a more true version of you with your context and with your experience and all that stuff rather than just the reactions. But it also helps you temper your reactions to make sure that they are a realistic representation of who you want to be seen as. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really smart just to try to see those two things and try to get them closer to each other. But it's kind of that the same idea. I'll try to put him in the show notes because I don't know what his name was. Any other thoughts on this?
Oh, it's so many.
It goes on forever.
It's just funny that all the things that I know that are wrong with me or with the way I approach things, I know that they are wrong. And I just can't get over the negative thoughts or whatever, me questioning myself. I'm like, I know this is ridiculous, but I just can't stop doing this thing. And I think it comes down to, I care, you know, your wife, she makes a dinner and she points out it didn't have enough salt because she cares. I care right about the thing that I'm making. And that thing that I was making, that was my life. Whether it was a thing that I made for a day or 3 weeks, that was a part of my life where I was all in on that. And I'm a little disappointed every time it's not perfect.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I found it. His name's Jason Lee Daniel. That's literally all I know about him though. So take it with a grain of salt. Any other thoughts? Jimmy, got anything else?
Oh, no. Just thinking of Jack Handy. You're good enough. You're okay. That's all I'm thinking.
People you're like good. You. Yeah.
You're good enough.
All right, cool.
Yeah. That's how I got to remind myself at the end of every day. I left out the last thing I did at the end of the night is I went and I filled up the dumpster with all the junk from the house I told you guys. And then I pulled into my driveway. There's a new raccoon at the main shop. So I wanted to see if the raccoon was inside working on anything. And so I pulled up to the shop doors at about midnight 30, and I immediately fell asleep. And Rachel's in the city. She called me and woke me up. She's like, are you sleeping? Where are you? I'm like, oh, no, So after a long day, I literally put the car in park and closed my eyes for 1 second and fell asleep in the parking lot at the shop, which to me is an indication that I did get a lot done yesterday, and it did work, even though I rested a few times.
Naps will make you feel guilty for sure.
That's not something I've ever been able to do, for sure.
The older I get, naps come a little bit more easily. Not intentionally.
I can nap. No, I don't mean that. I can't allow myself to because I feel guilty about it. Yeah.
I don't intentionally do it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters. Huge thanks to everybody over there at every level. Especially our top supporters. That's Works by Solo, the New Janky Workshop, Scott at Data Yourself DIY, Rich at Low End Design, Odin Leather Goods, Nick Ryan, Master of None, Jim at Wiser Bees, Chris McCormick, Chad from Mancrafting, Albers Woodworks, and A Pretty Big Deal, Inc. But there's a bunch of people over there that support the show, and we are really grateful for every bit of it. So no matter how much you support or how long you do it, we're just really grateful that you help us do the show. And everybody gets the after show, no matter the level. So if you want to get the after show, which happens after this show, it's more show, you can go to patreon.com/makingit and sign up, like I said, at any level. And yeah, you can put that in your podcast feed. You can watch the videos on YouTube, but the after show is separate. So it's got a separate feed and everything. Big thanks to everybody over there. Do you guys have anything to recommend this week?
So I've got one, this video, I put it in my Making It podcast playlist weeks ago. So it's been a while since I've seen it, but I'm skimming through it now. It's called Building 20 Projects with Cardboard Forming. And, this dude, he must be some sort of artist. He makes these sculptures and they all start with cardboard, and he's just really, really good at what he does. And there is one project at the end, maybe the 20th project, and he's just making this, like, it's just a sculpture type thing, and I just love, and it's like geometric patterns all that kind of fit together, and it's just really good. So texting that to you now.
Right on.
What's your name? Making It.
Okay. I'm going through all the history. I'm going through all this history, and I'm finding this thing that it popped up because I've been doing the metal sculpture when we went to Texas. It was a metal shaping class. And so this was suggested to me, and I'm just looking at it again now and realizing that everybody I know is already following them. I'm just finding out about them. Premium Sculpture. It looks like it's from a different country. It doesn't look like it's in the United States. And they make amazing steel sculptures. And you don't even have to listen. You just watch it. And you start soaking up the how-to, which is really cool. And these guys make all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm looking, there's a big giant Mickey Mouse in stainless steel. And then how do you do it? There's like a teddy bear and a crazy an elephant, all made in sheet stainless steel, all polished to a beautiful finish, all outdoor sculptures. And
crazy.
It's insane. Yeah. I'll send you guys this link now.
Wow.
Anyway, it's called Premium Sculpture. The link will be in the description.
Cool. I'll put in mine Jason Lee Daniel. You can check out some of his thoughts. But also my good buddy, Matt Whitman, who does a podcast. He has a YouTube channel called 10 Minute Bible Hour, and he does a podcast with Destin called No Dumb Questions. He's a good guy, good friend. But he just came out with a book, and he used to be a pastor, and now he does like Bible stuff, but his new book is called The Lightning Fast Field Guide to the Bible. It's a really good book, and I know that's not for everybody, but if you have even an academic interest in the Bible as a piece of literature, this book is awesome. If you have more than that, it's even awesomer. But it is, he took his degrees in history and theology, and he went through the Bible and wrote like a one-page summary of each book of the Bible, what it covers, how it relates to the rest of the Bible. And like, it's a way to get through the entire thing and understand the story from the beginning to the end and kind of get the historical context of each place and how it all connects. And it's a lot. The Bible's big. It's a lot to read and even more to understand. And so this book, not only is it written by my friend, but I've been going through it, and it's actually a super cool way to digest something that is very large and often misdigested. That's probably not the right word, but it is very cool. It's actually on sale on Amazon right now too, but it just came out at the end of last month. So go check it out. And he's a good dude. He's really funny too. You guys got anything else for today?
No.
No?
Yeah. I think I got it all.
Okay. Jimmy looks like he needs to go potty.
No, all right,
cool. Well, thank you for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you. Love you guys. Thank you.